This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Floyd Council is a Piedmont blues master well known in the 1930s. He was from Chapel Hill, recorded with music legend Blind Boy Fuller. Floyd Council sounded like this.
When I leave my home, I leave my baby crying.
Pink Floyd is an English psychedelic rock band that got its start in the 60s, and it's best remembered for this kind of music. Much in common with their styles, and they were separated by decades, but in fact, the Floyd in Pink Floyd is Chapel Hill's own Floyd Council. Floyd Council was born September 2nd, 1911. That means he would have been 100 years old tomorrow. He's buried out in Sanford, and local blues musician the Bullfrog Willard McGee is spearheading a movement to spruce up Council's graveside. Bullfrog, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Well, thanks, Frank. I hate to do this to you.
What'd I do?
Floyd actually died on September 2nd, so he would have been dead 35 years ago tomorrow.
Yeah. When was he born?
In May. I think he was born in the spring, so I'm pretty sure he was born in March or May, one of them that starts with an M.
Wow, okay. In any case, he's not with us any longer. Great musician and born in Chapel Hill. So tell us a little bit more about who he was.
Well, there certainly isn't a whole lot in the literature. Pete Lowry interviewed him in 1969, maybe 69 and 70 or 69 or 70. And virtually everything that's in print that I've ever found for him is in Pete's book, The Red River Blues. It's kind of the seminal work about this southeastern blues stuff.
Not so well known. And I guess maybe I should have you tell the Pink Floyd story now.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, in 67, Sid Barrett had been to a flea market or someplace, and he bought a Blind Boy Fuller record. And Paul Oliver wrote the liner notes, and then on the back of the record, he'd kind of listed a bunch of Piedmont blues guys. And it happened to be that Pink Anderson and Floyd Council's names were right next to each other in that list. And I guess a huge light bulb went on over his head, and he thought to himself, aha. You know, now I know what the name of my new band's going to be. So he took the Pink from Pink Anderson and the Floyd from Floyd Council and threw them on there.
That's how it came to be. Yeah, I have to say, now this just goes to show you how obscure Floyd Council is and how difficult it is to find out information, because we just looked it up again, and we have seen once again on our sources that he was, in fact, born September 2nd, 1911.
Really?
So, but I mean, I think this gets to the point. So somehow we had it right, and yet the information is not widely enough available to get it, and who knows? And that's the problem. Not enough is known, partly because he played with, and he was particularly with Blind Boy Fuller. Blind Boy really thought he was a fine musician.
Yeah.
Wanted to record with
him. Well, I think there's something, there's something to the fact that Fuller only ever recorded with two other guitar players. Yeah. You know, he took Gary Davis with him, and he took Gary Davis with him, and he took Floyd Council with him. On another occasion, he took the Trice brothers to the session with him, but he didn't record with Willie or Richard Trice. They ended up getting their own session. And I think probably what happened is that Floyd got his six songs because Long was the guy who recorded them was named J.B. Long, and Long was trying to keep Fuller happy. He wanted Fuller to be happy. So he's like, you brought your friends to the recording session?
What made him happy? What was it about Floyd's music that made him want to play with him?
Floyd was an excellent guitar player. I mean, he was a fantastic guitar player, and you don't get any greater endorsement than getting an endorsement from Fuller, you know, because Fuller had no patience or tolerance for anybody. And Gary Davis, both of them, neither one of them had a whole lot of tolerance for
really, really crappy players or mediocre stuff. Players. Well, and he leaves you speechless because maybe we should let his music speak for itself. Let's get a little bigger sample of Floyd Council's music.
Hey, hard working man. Ain't nothing but a dog. Yeah, working man. Ain't nothing but a dog. When you work hard all the week, payday is warm and warms it all. I came home this morning between 9:30 and 10. When I got home this morning between 9:30 and 10, when I found that old backbiter red sitting back in my den.
There we go. A little bit of Floyd Council and his Working Man Blues. With me to talk about his life and legacy is the Bullfrog Willard McGee. You know, when you listen to that song, sounds pretty simple, three chords. But each time he came to that break, played it a little bit differently, had a little something different to say every time he turned it around, right?
Yeah, and I hate to think of what those couple of months right before that session were like, because, you know, he recorded six commercial songs and five of them are about, you know, his girlfriend's cheating on him. So I think he was probably having a rough time when he got on the road, went off with Fuller to record. And they tend to be fairly angry songs, yeah. You know.
Did he try to have a career of his own, or was it anything interesting?
He was a truck driver, man. Yeah. And I think one of the things that's really interesting about those old blues cats is really the ones who made a career of it were guys who kind of got shuffled that direction. You know, Sonny Terry was blind, Gary Davis was blind, Fuller was blind, Pegleg Sam Jackson was missing. You know, they were guys who weren't doing manual labor. They were guys who weren't working in the tobacco fields or factories. They were guys who, you know, we're kind of augmenting their welfare money with playing on the street and sidewalk. And the ones that got real lucky are the guys that got picked up and recorded a few songs.
So the guys who got really good were the guys who could and had to, because that's the only way they could make a living.
Yeah,
right?
And that was a real deal. And, you know, there were lots of men who were playing around them who were less, you know, there's another way to think of it where maybe, you know, because one of the great things about North Carolina blues is how important women were in it. You know, so you have Cormay Phillips and Libby Cotton, who was from Chapel Hill over here, and
Elizabeth Cotton,
Etta Baker. And so they're, you know, they weren't blind or maimed or crippled. They happened to be women, which I guess in the 30s might have been a whole different kind of disability, you know.
Well, yeah, and again, it may have limited their work options,
right,
and that sort of thing, too. Although they did have a lot of work at home to do.
Not saying
a
that
lot
they didn't work,
of work at home to
hard.
Do.
Yeah. Yeah. And Libby Cotton wrote most of those songs to entertain, yeah, you know, children and grandchildren. So, but, you know, Floyd probably, if you talked to him, would have said, no, I'm a truck driver, you know. And I don't know. You know, I really wish that there had been some point where there had been an overlap or I could have talked to him. That would have been really interesting. My friend, somewhere, it's kind of that whole thing about the date where, with the confusion. Somewhere along the line, I got confused about his children because I was certain that he did not have any. And, you know, I was out there looking for his grave, and I'd gone and talked to people in Sanford and had done all this hunting and, you know, finding the pastor at the church there, you know, Laura Brown, who's a lovely woman. And I was in the library doing some research with my buddy Eric Manning, and he said, did Floyd have kids? And I said, no, I'm pretty sure he didn't. And he flipped his phone book around and set it in front of me. He said, who do you think Floyd Council Jr. is? And I thought, wow, I went to college to learn how to do this kind of research.
Phone book.
Right.
Yeah. So, did you talk to him?
So we went and talked to him, and he's a lovely, lovely man. He was very kind to us and had us in his house, and we were playing guitars and talking and having a great time, and he invited us back. And I think at some point, if we can ever get the brush cleared out of that part of the cemetery sufficient to find Pearl Council, who was Floyd's wife, then he and I will walk that part of the graveyard. And at that time, he was saying he thought if he could find Pearl, he could find Floyd relative to that. But Floyd's laying an unmarked grave, so.
Well, we're going to have to get the date right when we mark it. I don't know which it is. It was still.
No, yeah.
Would you play a song for us?
I wish. Yeah, absolutely. One of those like we were just listening to here.
left my home. I left my baby crying. When I first left my home, I left my baby crying. She hollered, "Daddy, please don't you leave. Sure do grieve my mind. My baby's in the kitchen. My sister's in the door. Baby's in the kitchen. My sister's in the door. Little girl out in the backyard. She hollered, "Daddy, please don't you go. Get me a razor, I'm gonna get a blue steel gun. Get me a razor, get me a blue steel gun. Cut you if you stay, shoot you if you run. First left my home, I left my baby crying. First left my home, I left my baby crying. She hollered, "Daddy, please don't you leave. Sure do grieve my mind."
The Bullfrog, Willard McGee, with his tribute to Floyd Council, Runaway Man Blues, and his effort to spruce up the grave of Willard, of Floyd Council.
Oh, careful what
well,
I kind of talk.
That's kind of scary, isn't it? You did meet Floyd Council Jr. Talk to him. What does he remember?
That song. It was funny because, you know, we were standing out in the front yard talking about his dad, and I said, he only made the 6 commercial recordings. You had those songs. He said, "Yeah, somebody found them for me, made me a tape, and I listened to them every once in a while." I said, "You remember any?" He said, "Well, yeah." And then he sang that verse about, "I'm gonna get me a razor, get me a blue steel." He said, "Yeah, my dad was kind of bad, huh?" I was like, "He's a tough dude." He's like, "Yeah, he wrote some tough songs. That's a fact." But you know, I think for a variety of reasons, you know, Floyd's stuff just didn't survive. You know, I mean, his son, you know, the only pictures he has of his dad are pictures that somebody found for him on the internet. And it's unfortunate, but I think the way it worked out in the 70s with all of that stuff is, you know, his guitar went to a pawn shop and his things kind of got dispersed. So
how's the effort going now? The people in Sanford?
I've talked to a fair number of people in Sanford who love the idea and want to do something, you know, but the trick always is kind of marrying the motivation and the will with the money and finding the time and getting a group of people to get together and do that stuff. You know, we had some great volunteers who, you know, David Walker and Brent Hill and some people in the Triangle Blues Society and Josh Pressler have been fantastic. And the Questel Foundation, Andrew Questel, there's a lot of interest and a lot of support. And it just seems like when you talk to people about it, they're like, "Wow, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do something like that." Except for my mom. You know, when I told my mom about it, she's like, "Can't you be raising money for cancer or something?"
Well, raising money for yourself, Willard. When are you going to get a job?
When are you going to get a real job? Quit this paying handling business. So that's kind of there is definitely interest in, you know, we've been making a record, and actually it'll probably be two records, and I think probably in later in the fall, maybe early December, what I'd like to do is get one of those crowdfunding deals up, like the Indiegogo or Kickstarter or something. And if you give us money to put a stone on Floyd Council's grave, then we'll send you a record that we made of his songs, and that way we're not actually selling you a record. We're just
Well, when you get that together, come on back. I'm going to leave you. Listen, I want to tell everybody how they can find you and contribute to the cause if they want. And then maybe we've got about a minute and a half here. Maybe you can play out a song.
Okay, that'd be great.
Pretty important to you. Bullfrog Willard McGee, local blues musician here talking about the 1930s Piedmont blues legend. And he is a legend because we don't know enough about him. Floyd Council, tomorrow would have been Floyd's 100th birthday. We're pretty darn sure. For more information about the Bullfrog, you can check him out at MySpace, Facebook. We strive to be accurate here at the State of Things.
Hey, man, you've got a staff of researchers.
I think we actually got it right here.
Okay. I believe you.
Find out more about Bullfrog on MySpace, Facebook, or Reverb Nation. That's the State of Things. Thanks for listening. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio. Once again, the Bullfrog, Willard McGee.
Floyd's son said that this was one of Floyd's favorite songs, so we'll probably put this on the record at some point.
In the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me. Lord, she went away, and now she's gone. But I don't worry, because you know that I've been sitting on top of this old world. Won't you come here running, mama? Whoa!